My name's Thomas Keegan, host of LibertarianProgressive.com and also blogtalkradio.com/election channel. LibertarianProgressive.com is an independent media organization. We interview independent and third-party candidates who are on the ballots, Green Party, independents, libertarians, no party affiliation, and other parties. We believe if a candidate has gathered enough signatures to be on the ballot and has a statistical chance to win, then a responsible media will include them in the debates and interview them to educate and inform the public of their options. Tonight, we are interviewing Pepper Snyder, who is a libertarian candidate for the U.S. House in District 3 in Indiana. And you can find out more information at pepper4congress.com. And then Pepper, good evening. And I believe that you are the only third-party option for your district this year. Correct me if I'm wrong.
That's correct, yes.
Great. Well, good to talk to you this evening. And so let me ask you, how come you're running as a libertarian? I do see on your website it says, imagine if a libertarian worked here. There's 435 members in the House, another 100 in the Senate. What would that be like if a libertarian worked there?
Well, I think that we probably need a whole lot more than just one libertarian working there to get anything fixed in the system that we have right now. The reason that I decided to run, I've spent several years angry at the political system. I'm angry at the fact that I could vote for someone and they don't do the things that they said they would do. And I had almost given up, and after what the Republican Party did to Ron Paul, I had just pretty much thrown my hands up. It just seemed pretty worthless to even get involved in it. And then, people kept saying, well, someone needs to do something. Someone needs to do something. And I decided I was someone. And I have to throw my hat into the ring and see if I could make a change and decrease government, decrease spending, give power back to people.
Great. And is this your first time running for government office?
This is my first time running for anything, yes.
All right. Well, and I should say congratulations, and congratulations also if you win. And you are giving people another option, and you are the only third-party candidate in your district. Have you been in any of the debates? Have there been debates? And are there any upcoming debates for your districts?
There have not been any debates, and from what I understand, there will not be any debates. We're in an interesting situation in my district. We have a Republican who, he's a pretty well-known Republican, and Jim Banks, and then we also have a Democrat who people thought they were electing a well-known Democrat in the area who turned out to not be that well-known Democrat. His name is Tommy Schrader. He lived in a hotel and he was drinking alcohol during his interview with the news and reading a Bible and watching porn. And I believe he endorsed Trump. So the Democrat Party in the 3rd District has pretty much disowned their candidate. And so it's really kind of a race between the Republican Party and the Libertarian Party. And so the Libertarian Party, of course, we jumped on that, and we're hoping to get a pretty good turnout in that situation. But it is a unique situation in the 3rd District right now.
Now, are you willing to do any debates? Like if you were invited to 1, 2, 3, there's 40 days left until Election Day.
Mm-hmm.
Are you willing to debate the Republican at least?
Absolutely. They have done debates in the past. From what I understand, they're not doing one this year because they said that they haven't had a very good turnout on the channel that they do it, and so they've decided not to do it this year. Maybe if they have a credible Democrat next time, maybe they will do it then, but right now they're saying they're not going to do one.
Okay, and I don't mean to press on this issue, but it's just surprising, even if the Democrat's not in there, that at least you and the Republican
mm-hmm.
wouldn't be debating. Have you challenged him to a debate publicly?
Some people in my campaign have, and other people who follow politics in the area have challenged both of us to a debate. It's just the problem of getting someone to do it for us, I think. And he's not really responsive to it, from what I understand. So I don't know that it's going to happen, but we're very open to it.
Now, let's just say the tables were turned, and 2 years from now, you happen to be the incumbent, and you have an up-and-coming challenger, would you be willing to debate them if the situation was reversed?
I think debates are very important. Whether I like competition. I don't want to silence voices. People need to hear how I feel. People need to hear how he feels, what his plans are, what my plans are. And regardless of whether or not I'm on the winning team or the uphill battle team, I think people still have a right to hear their options.
And Pepper Snyder, that's who we're talking with, Libertarian candidates in Indiana's 3rd District this year for the U.S. House of Representatives. It basically is her versus a Republican in that district. There are no other third-party options. The Democrat seems like it's almost forfeited. So this could be an interesting race if you're interested in U.S. politics. We're going to get to the issues real quick on your website. And again, your website is pepper4congress.com. Let's go to that right now. I'll just read them off real quick and you can expand on them. But you have the Second Amendment, government spending, jobs, non-interventionism, against the NSA Patriot Act, corporatism, immigration, and audit the Fed, criminal justice reform, medical cannabis, marriage equality. How about let's start with non-interventionism, and you could explain also that it says here you were in the Army as well. If you could explain what your vision is for the U.S. foreign policy going forward as it should be.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't in the Army. My husband was. I was an Army wife. My brother was in the Army. My sister was in the Army. My brother actually did several tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, and he came back with some pretty substantial PTSD and developed a heroin addiction. I have personal experience in seeing the tragedy that our foreign policy has caused, not only in soldiers' lives, but also in the lives of their families. We are sending these men and women to die for other countries. We're sending them to lose their souls for other countries. And that's not fair. It's not right. And I have a huge problem with that. We should never, ever kill other people unless our direct national defense is at stake. And that is where I'm coming at from foreign policy.
All right. And that sounds good. And what about immigration? How would you approach how the U.S.'s immigration policies should be as a representative in the U.S. House of Representatives?
I want to make it easier to become a citizen in the United States. It shouldn't take 10, 15, I've heard 20 years to stand in that line to get that citizenship. I think that's appalling. We've got mothers trying to get their children to a better situation in America out of drug lord war zones in Mexico, and to tell them that they have to wait for 10 years, it's appalling. And it's no wonder that people are coming across the border in droves. It's no wonder. It shouldn't take that long to become a citizen.
That is a long time to wait. I can imagine. It seems like a long time to wait. I can imagine sometimes even waiting for days or a year, and I can imagine 10 years. And you also have here, as an addendum to that, Muslims specifically, that's been in the news lately. So should there be a religious litmus test?
Absolutely not. Stands in direct conflict with the Constitution of the United States. We have freedom of religion here, so I don't think it's right for us to then tell certain other religions that they can't come here.
Right, so kind of like equal justice under the law, perhaps.
Correct.
And what about corporatism? This sounds like an issue that I've heard a lot about on the left, and the rights, if you want to use that kind of terminology, left and right. But what about corporatism? I mean, are you against corporations, or what is your stance?
Oh, no. I'm not against corporations. I just don't think that government and taxpayers should prop them up. That's not the free market. I support a completely free market. I want Walmart to totally exist. I also want mom-and-pop shops to have the opportunity to exist alongside Walmart.
Yeah, and what about small and mid-sized businesses? You know, what do you think the state of the union is, or the state of the small business owner is, and mid-sized business owners? What can we do to help them out?
I think that the first thing that we can do is cut the regulations. I think small businesses are regulated to death. They're regulated out of business half the time. Even to start a business, you've got to fork out a couple $100,000 just to get permission from the government to get it up and running. And I think that that's impossible. It hurts the poor. It hurts the middle class. These are the people that don't get that opportunity to go out and make a life for themselves because of government regulations. And I think that the first thing we need to do is cut those. And I think that if someone who is poor wants to slap a taxi cab sign on their car to make some extra money to make ends meet, they should be able to do that. But unfortunately, the taxi industry has set up this system where you cannot do that unless you purchase a medallion, which can sometimes cost quite a few pennies.
Yeah, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. And, you know, not to throw out any, we're not endorsing any other groups, but I think it's called the Institute of Justice. They do a lot of investigations on exactly what you're talking about, people needing licenses to start a barber shop or, you know, hair braiding thing or et cetera. It's just amazing how many regulations there
300,
are.
300 hours of classes just to cut hair and some crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of time. I don't have that much time to do that. And supposedly there's been a report that, you know, there's millions of jobs that are not being created because of some of those regulations. And, it's you know, they're not like, you know, in the realm of nuclear waste or anything like that. I mean, these are just things
right.
that, you know. What about government spending? You're not going to Washington to spend a lot of money? Or
no. In fact, a lot of Republicans now, they don't say they're going to cut spending. They're just going to stop it from increasing more. That seems to be the road that the Republicans are taking from now on. I want to cut it. I don't want to cut the rate that it increases. I want to cut it, period. I want across the board spending cuts on everything.
Right.
Including
and so maybe that has something to do with the somewhere between $19 to $20 trillion debt
yes.
that we have right now.
A little bit.
And, yeah. What about audit the Fed? You know, you mean the Federal Reserve?
Yes.
If you could expand on that a little bit, please.
Well, I think that it's crazy that the agency we've set out to set our monetary policy is not regulated in any way, shape, or form to make sure that they are doing a proper job of that and what they're doing with all that money and gold.
I think they've been audited once in the last 100 years since they were created.
Especially,
in 1913.
Yes.
Yeah. And they have a lot of influence, some would say. And now, let's combine two issues into one here. I mean, they are separate issues, but you have here criminal justice reform and medical cannabis. And please tell our audience what your stance is on that, how we should approach it, and what we've been doing wrong.
Well, I think that we should approach laws and the way that and Black Lives Matter have brought up a very interesting point that I want to make. If you're not willing to kill someone over a law, then it shouldn't be a law. I find it, if there's no victim, it shouldn't be a crime. We should not be ripping mom and dad away from kids and putting them in prison because they had an ounce too much of pot in their car. It's a plant. It's appalling that we have, I mean, our Constitution was written on hemp, for crying out loud. And we're throwing people in prison for having hemp growing in their home. And I really want to focus on changing the laws so that you don't go to prison for personal choices that affect you and only you, and that we stop arresting people for their potential to commit a crime because they may be on drugs and might possibly do something while they're on drugs.
And again, if people want to find out more information about Pepper Snyder, who we're interviewing right now, it's pepper4congress.com. She's running as a Libertarian for the U.S. House of Representatives this year. She's going to be on the ballot November 8th, about 40 days away, for Indiana's 3rd District, again, for the U.S. House. Yeah, sometimes I, just to follow up on that a little bit, some people might think this or that might be illegal or should be illegal, and that's one opinion someone could have, but the real crux of the issue is what should be the consequences for that, because that's really what they're advocating. And so it's not just one thing to say you think cannabis should be illegal. You're actually saying you think here's the consequences of it being illegal. And let's see here, the Second Amendment. And so, you know, that's been in the news. What do you think about the Second Amendment? And yeah, please go ahead.
I'm an advocate for the Second Amendment. I don't, and some people may disagree with this, but I don't support gun laws. Obviously, we do have gun laws. I don't think they work. If a criminal, someone wants to murder people with a gun, he's going to get a gun whether the government gives him permission. I mean, murder is against the law. That law does not seem to affect someone who wants to murder people. I don't think the only thing that gun laws do is slow down law-abiding citizens from defending themselves. I mean, you had the story of a woman out of New Jersey who applied for a gun permit because she felt threatened by her ex-husband, and she was waiting 2 months for that gun permit, and he broke into her house and stabbed her to death while she was waiting for that gun permit to be approved so she could have a gun to defend herself. That's appalling. I don't understand how we can claim to be for women's rights when we don't give women the right to defend themselves against men who are twice their size. And a gun is a perfect defense for that. I want to have the right to defend myself. I want my daughters to have the right to defend themselves. And I am opposed to anything that would slow them down from achieving that right.
Sure. And I suppose I can understand someone saying that would be an equalizer if someone who is maybe smaller, more petite, but has a gun, you know, they would probably, you could make a strong argument, be able to defend themselves just as much as someone that might be, you know, 250 pounds and muscular and et cetera. What about now? I think, you know, if people defend the Second Amendment, don't want any laws, that's great. But there should also be maybe some solutions to reducing gun violence. And maybe it's a holistic approach, but without getting rid of the Second Amendment. You think there's alternative ways we could possibly, and crime rates have been going down for the last couple of decades, but besides that, what are some other outside the box, outside of tampering with the Second Amendment, things that you think might overall reduce gun violence in another way besides infringing on the Second Amendment?
Well, I think one thing that we can do is we used to train kids in school how to properly use a gun and that they are dangerous. We have kids that have never been around a gun, and then when they are around a gun, which can happen, they don't know how dangerous it is. They don't know how to handle a gun, and they don't know how serious the consequences can be if something goes wrong while they're handling that gun. I would like to see kids trained how to properly use a gun and gun safety. And I wish we could get that back in the schools. It's obviously a very touchy issue right now. As for gun violence, I think a lot of gun violence you see happening in poverty areas. Obviously, it's economic issues lead to violence. And I think that, you know, the Libertarian in office and a few Libertarians in office, and hopefully we can start changing things to take care of those economic issues for people.
Great, great. And we appreciate you sharing all these issues. And you do have here marriage equality. Might as well also ask your stance on the, you know, abortion issue as well.
Okay. Marriage equality. I don't believe government has the right to tell two people who they can and can't marry, nor do they have the right to tell a church who they can and can't marry. Government is not church. They're not our church. And so many politicians go into office thinking they're supposed to uphold the laws of the church. That's not their role. As for abortion, I am pro-life. I don't think that government involvement in the issue will do anything other than adversely affect abortion. Abortion is decreasing. I believe that if government comes in and starts clamping down, you would see much like you've seen with the drug war. It would probably start increasing. And so we have abortion decreasing. And so let's just keep educating people on abortion, on the rights of the unborn, on life. I get 4D ultrasound out there. If you truly want to help women who need help, who otherwise would not get an abortion if someone would help them, then help them. Go out into your communities and offer assistance to Birthright, to other organizations that truly help women get on their feet, and not only get on their feet while they're pregnant, but stay on their feet after that baby is born.
All right. And now let's ask some questions outside the platform that you have listed on your website here. You're running as a, you know, what would be known as a third-party candidate. You are on the ballot, and so you're just as on the ballot as anyone else. And even in your situation this year, as you stated, the Democrat is probably not really going to be taken seriously. So you might even, you know, not be just the third choice, but rather the second or the first choice. So reaching out to people, trying to get them to vote for a different party that they might not have done before, I think consensus might be a key word. And so, you know, what are you trying to do to build consensus for your campaign to give you a chance to convince or make the argument that you're the best choice this year for Congress for a 2-year term?
I would say to those people that look what has happened. We have been voting for Democrats and Republicans for decades, and look what they've done. If we want something different, like we keep saying, we have to vote for something different. And so vote different. Quit giving them your vote. They're not going to do what they say. They're going to do the exact opposite of what they say. They're not there to serve you. They're there to serve Goldman Sachs. They're there to serve Blackwater, Halliburton. Those are the people they're serving. They're not serving you. We just had our Senate vote to fund, to give weapons to Saudi Arabia. The country doesn't want to do that, but they did it anyways. They don't represent you. If you want something different, vote different.
And let me ask you this. This might be a tough question here, but what are the, if you were to tell, if someone was thinking pros and cons about electing you on November 8th, what are the pros and the cons? And you know, you can answer this however you want, to vote for Pepper Snyder for Congress this year.
Well, I think the pros are definitely I'm going to do my best to get government out of every aspect of your life. And I think that cons for someone might be that you may not disagree that government should be out of that part of your life or out of that part of someone else's life. Take marriage equality for one. Many people who are opposed to gays getting married would definitely support government stepping in and stopping those two people from getting married, but turn that table around and see how you would feel if government turned their eyes on you and decided that you and your spouse shouldn't be married. What kind of role do we want to give government? And that's how I would answer that.
All right. And what about this question? It's more of a philosophical question, maybe. Is what matters more how the game is played or whether you win or lose?
How the game is played.
Okay. All right. Great. And who are some of your favorite people, past or present, elected or not?
Definitely Ron Paul. I also learned a lot from Isabel Patterson. She wrote a lot of literature, and I would suggest anyone check her out. I've learned a lot from her.
All right. And are there any specific, like maybe local issues? I know you're running for the U.S. House, but any issues that are near and dear to your district that we haven't discussed here today?
I think that mostly people in my district are concerned about economic issues right now. And also, we recently had the vaping law in Indiana, which basically is another corporatism. We had a bunch of Indiana senators and did a lot of money from a security firm up in Tippecanoe County. And suddenly, we basically shut down half of the vaping industry in Indiana. So because they were not approved, they had to go through this specific security firm in their vaping industry in order to operate in the state of Indiana. So that shut down half of them. And I think that that's, in fact, my opponent voted for that bill. And there's your free market Republican right there voting to shut down half of the vaping industry.
Yeah, there's a difference. And what about one other thing I just thought of is the TPP, which if people don't know is the trade deal, kind of similar to NAFTA, mm-hmm. but different countries. What is your position at this point in time on, should the TPP be passed as how we know it?
Absolutely not. I mean, what do we know about it? No one's allowed to read it. I think it's appalling that they're going to vote through a law that the American people can't read. And I think that that's the very definition of tax without representation.
Interesting. And have you heard Democrats, support? I mean, I know you probably have the Libertarians. What about, what kind of support are you getting? Republicans, Democrats, Independents?
I'm getting an overwhelming amount of support from Democrats and also Independents, and definitely a lot of Republicans who are just fed up with the system. And I definitely see them kind of leaning more towards libertarianism lately, and I hope to see a lot more of that.
Great. And any other upcoming events, Pepper, before we end the interview today?
Yes, I'm actually doing a candidate forum here coming up pretty soon in Columbia City, and then I'm also going to be on the news on the end of October, the 29th or the 30th, I believe, and I'll be on the morning news for an hour, I'm not sure.
All right, and for people listening, you'll be able to re-listen to this interview at libertarianprogressive.com. This interview we've been doing with Pepper Snyder, Libertarian candidate for the U.S. House of Representatives, District Number 3 in Indiana. She's going to be on the ballots, and the only other option basically besides a Republican, there's a Democrat, but almost forfeited. So, and real interesting race here in U.S. politics this year. Any other final words of wisdom for our audience, Pepper? And we appreciate your time today to share with our audience what's happening in your state.
I would just like to rehash over and over again that if you want something different, then you've got to start voting different.
And please contact us and let us know if there is a debate ever going to happen in your area before November 8th. We'd be really interested in doing that, and we'll do an update to this interview and put a link to that. So just let us know about that. But, well, thank
Absolutely.
You so much. We appreciate it. And I hope you have a nice
thank
evening
you.
And good luck in your campaign. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye.